This is Dan Barrett. You're listening to the Oz Media Report. Talk to older journos and you hear a variety of stories about breaking into the industry. It used to be done primarily through getting cadetships or working street press. Younger journos have told stories about using DIY blogs and other types of online publications as their entry point. But as we move more towards DIY publishing as a self-sustaining business model for some journalists, it's changing not just the business model, but the sort of journalists that are contributing to our media diet. Which brings us to 6 News. It's a video-based news service with 2 weekly shows. What's unique about the DIY news service is its founder, chief anchor, and news director. It's the barely a teenager, Leonardo Puglisi. He's young, passionate, and serious about establishing a career in news. I've got so many questions about Leo, but after talking to him, the biggest question I have is this. By the time Leo is ready to enter the workforce full-time, will he be too big to work for a legacy news org? This past week, Leo saw 6 News get pulled from YouTube for a couple of hours due to supposed anti-vaccine reporting. The channel was reinstated, but when you hear Leo talk about the incident, it's a testament to how serious he is about fair and balanced news reporting. You need to pay attention to Leo. But before we get to my chat with Leo, we've got a short chat with Clive Dickens. He's working at the telco Optus as the Optus TV Content and Product Development Vice President. This morning, Optus announced SubHub. It's a portal for Optus customers to manage all their digital subscriptions. It promises customers greater control over their monthly bills. I wanted to find out more about this and how it's been set up, so I got Clive on the phone. Clive, let's keep this simple. From a customer's perspective, how does this work? I assume Optus customers are loading an app and then they sign up to digital services through that, and the bill just turns up as part of the monthly phone bill?
So it's all about simplify, save, discover. So it's all within the existing My Optus app, available to all of our customers for free, and also on the Optus website. So you don't have to install a new app. What you do is you go to the Optus website or the existing My Optus app, you sign in with your Optus account, and then SubHub is available to you. And then you add the number of services that you want to bring along, either new or existing services, and benefit from that bundling discount. 5% for 2, 10% discount for 3. And then effectively, over time, we'll add more services and allow people to simplify their subscriptions because they don't often know what they're paying for where, to save by bundling and then hopefully use that discount to discover more amazing digital content.
So you can link your existing accounts, or do I need to start new accounts for each of these services?
So it's existing and new, but for the launch today, the launch promotional offers are solely for new accounts, but we'll be adding the feature to add existing Amazon, existing Netflix accounts coming very soon. So the launch day is for new customers, but the overall SubHub service is designed for existing and new services. So you'll be able to bring over time your existing Netflix account and your existing Prime account and benefit from those bundle discounts, not just limited to new customers.
So I presume that the ability to link an existing account is probably pretty soon on the roadmap. Is it, say, a matter of weeks or months, or what would we be looking at?
Oh, it'll be before the summer. So you're talking about just a few weeks away across all the leading services. So the technology to add existing services is a little bit more complex than the sign-up policy for new. And obviously, we wanted to make sure that the existing subscribers to Netflix and existing subscribers to Prime and other services benefited in the same way as new account holders.
So with the billing happening through the portal, can I also terminate or pause an account through the portal, or do I need to follow that through with the services directly?
So once you've actually brought your account over to SubHub, it's Optus who administers that. Mm. So you do all of your onboarding or pausing within SubHub.
Yeah, and I presume also upgrading accounts, so if I wanted to go for, say, a Netflix, you know, 1 screen to a 2 screen or... 4 screen.
Absolutely. Yeah. You have multiple services, you have monthly plans, annual plans. And of course, different periods of time, you'll have offers as well. So we launched today with 12 months on us for new Amazon Prime customers. That's a pretty compelling offer. You're probably aware of how fantastic the Prime membership is across, you know, video, music, delivery, and reading. And an early SubHub users who are new customers get 12 months of that on us. And also there's a 3-month on us offer for Calm as well. So you should expect in the SubHub platform lots of promotional offers as well as the bundle discounts.
Yeah, that Amazon deal is actually not too bad. This isn't me shilling for Optus now. This is just legitimate, you know. I'm thinking I'm a
$34 a year of value, I think.
Yeah, no, that's what I was thinking. I was trying to do the math in my mind. Like, it's not a bad deal at all. Now, I did notice that a lot of the available services are international services. It doesn't include local streamers, say like Stan or DocPlay or Binge or any of the local news brands. Is there a reason why it's necessarily so overseas heavy, or is it really just sort of happenstance?
Yeah, so we've talking to all partners, and we've got various stages of conversations, right? So there's what I sort of call sort of three buckets of conversations. There's the partners that are already technically integrated today, that include, you know, Amazon services, Kindle, Calm, Optus Sport, and news aggregator Inkle, which does have some local content on it. There's the services that we've announced as coming soon, which include Paramount Plus, Netflix, etc., BritBox. And then there's the services that we're talking to that weren't quite at the stage where they were comfortable being referenced today. They're in that third bucket. So we're pretty confident that this is a win-win for services and for customers. And therefore, we confidently predict that the vast majority of services will be on SubHub over time.
Yeah, now the vast majority of services are big brand names that people are going to be very familiar with. But are you also talking to some of the more niche providers, say, for example, like, say, a Crikey level?
Yeah, we've started with three pillars today. Dan, one is around entertainment. Mm. The second one is around reading. And the third one is around well-being. So well-being includes our partnership with Fit and our partnership with Calm. Reading includes our partnership with Kindle and Inkle. And obviously, entertainment is obvious. Now, in terms of, Kelly mentioned that we're also considering other pillars. We're considering gaming experience pillars. We're also considering education, digital education pillars as well, like language learning as well. So the and also we have also announced today that we're one of our coming soon partners is the Netflix of China, which is called iQIYI, which not only is the Netflix of China, but actually has the English Premier League in China as well. So that's a really exciting niche service for new Australians. And we're very open to have conversations with anyone. This is not just about the big end of town and the North American products. We know that Australia is an increasingly diverse country and society, and we actually want to ensure that SubHub's partners reflect our customers.
Now, think about that foreign language content. So you do have Fetch as a partner here. Fetch offer a few add-on packages, including some foreign language packs through that. Are you able to manage all of that through your portal, or do you need to sign up for Fetch and then start adding those extra packs through Fetch?
Obviously, we have a very long-standing close relationship with Fetch, and they'll be a partner in SubHub, and obviously we continue to range the Fetch hardware and channel packs in addition to SubHub today and for the foreseeable future. Now, working with the content rights that Fetch have, they currently have those channel packs, and obviously we'll work with Fetch management to either bring all or most of those channel packs to SubHub over time.
With the payments, obviously you've got monthly plans considered there, and you do have, are all the payments for monthly plans you've got on there, Amazon Prime and Paramount Plus, both have discounted annual plans? How does that impact there? Will people still be able to get those discounted annual plans through this with the additional discounts that you're offering through the portal?
The platform is optimized currently for monthly plans and promotional offers. But over time, we will support all of the plans that our partners support. You know, annual plans are relatively new, and we'll obviously need to add those over time.
Apple, they've got a set percentage cost that they charge companies for when they're handling their billing. If I was to guess, I'd assume that Optus isn't taking as big a cut as Apple does, because that's quite significant. Are you charging a uniform fee with all your partners, or does it really sort of vary depending on the terms of each agreement?
Look, obviously, we can't talk about the commercial agreements with partners, but obviously this is a commercial relationship with partners where we want to ensure that they can make a meaningful margin operating those services with the massive investments they make. We obviously keen to make a little bit of money for our shareholders, but also we will pass on those savings to customers as well. So the opportunity is a delicate balance between maintaining margins for subscription providers, making money within Optus's services, but also, you know, obviously those discounts of 5% for two and 10% for three, obviously very generous as well. So yes, it's a commercial enterprise, and obviously we're taking a modest wholesale price on those. But most of them, foremost, this is about differentiation. So differentiation, where you can only get this if you become an Optus customer. So, you know, come over from all of those other telcos right now. And we'll see. And when you do come over, you can bundle and save. And we already have, as Kelly said, some of the cheapest and fastest 5G in the market. So we think this is really a good extension of our already differentiated high value products.
Yeah, when I saw the deal initially this morning, it was the differentiation that I assumed was the main sort of driver for you guys.
Yeah, like Optus Sport, for example. Optus Sport has 900,000 subscribers now, and it's really about differentiation. It's not about being aggregating all sport. It's about if you want to watch the Euros, the Women's World Cup in 2 years' time, or the Premier League, you know, you can only get that from Optus. So differentiation is the key here, and focusing on customer value. And really, you know, moving towards us being what Kelly describes as a most loved everyday brand, rather than being the second biggest telco.
Yeah, this does feel like one of the stickiest things that I've heard any of the telcos doing, purely because once you've migrated all those services over, boy, it's going to be a pain to have to try to take those away from the service going forward.
Yeah, look, people have long tenure with their telcos, actually. You'd be surprised how long they stick with their telcos, particularly ones doing the value, you know, premium value like we are. And the more services that you can migrate over, if you have family plans, multiple SIMs, and then you bring your Optus NBN over, and then you bring your Netflix and your Paramount over, it gets very sticky. But also, more importantly, you start to demonstrate real multi-service discounts and value as well, which is, I think, we all like to save a bit of money, and that's really what we want to try and do for our customers.
Yeah, and just winding out, like, this is a world first, isn't it? Like, I can't think of that many telcos that have had a similar type of a portal in place.
This is undeniably a world first. Now, telcos around the world have for long bundled hard or soft bundled single services into plan. You know, Netflix and Optus, you heard Ben Crox launched one here in 2015. Optus had the first ever Netflix bundle in 2015. And all around the world, you can Google different services, but they're all bundled with home plans or bundled with mobile plans. No one has launched a hub for your subs that allows you to pick a mix and create your own bundle around the services you love. We think this is a game changer. We expect other telcos around the world to copy. We picked a global integration partner in Docomo Digital to make it possible so you can integrate once as a global partner and then use that technology in other markets. So we not only expect other telcos to copy, we are encouraging other telcos to copy right across our group, because we think this is a very, very important differentiator for the industry.
Cool. Well, I mean, this sounds like a win for consumers. Clive, thanks so much for letting us know more about it.
Great to see you, Dan. Thanks for your questions.
And that was Clive Dickens from Optus talking today about the rollout of SubHub. Now, I have to say, when I saw the media release hit my inbox this morning, I immediately recognized this is a pretty canny move from Optus. And we talk about this right at the end of that interview, but there really isn't a huge point of difference with a lot of the telcos these days. Speeds on mobile phone and your internet at home, like, speed's pretty good these days. Connectivity is generally pretty solid with most of the providers. Yes, there's a few black spots here and there, but by and large, there's not a lot of a point of difference between these telcos, with the exception of these products that they're adding on. SubHub, really smart move for Optus because it makes Optus incredibly sticky. The thing you can't do if you've signed up for your Netflix, your Amazon, and let's say that this gets a bit further down the track and say they've signed up, say, Spotify, for example, or maybe a Crikey subscription, or, you know, you've got, say, 7 or 8 different subscriptions that you're running through there. It means that if you're going to leave Optus, it suddenly means that you need to then cancel all of those services and then reset them up over with where you want it from. You have to go back to Spotify and sign up with them again, and it becomes incredibly difficult, whereas I'd sort of think, well, maybe I'll just stick with Optus. They're all right. The price is pretty good. It makes it incredibly sticky. Anyway, smart move, that's SubHub, and it's rolling out from today with a limited number of services today, but more and more coming on board as time goes on. Now, let us move on to the second interview in this week's Oz Media Report. They say to never meet your heroes. And I went into this interview, I didn't know what to expect. I'd sort of seen Leo on Twitter a bit, and then I saw a video, and we'll talk about that in the interview in a moment. He seemed interesting. There was definitely a story to be had here, but like, who was Leo? He's just a kid. Like, what's going on there? And then I met Leo, and my God, he wasn't my hero going into it, but he suddenly was when we came out of this interview. He is such a smart, clever, savvy guy. Easily one of the most impressive people I've ever met in my life. Folks, pay attention to Leo. This guy, he's going places, and get on board the Leo train because it's leaving the station and you need to get onto that thing. Anyway, guys, this is my chat with Leo Puglisi from Six News. So Leo, I keep seeing you on my feeds, and every time I'm left unsure as to who you are or what I'm looking at, I keep asking, who's this guy? What's he doing? How's he doing it? Is he 12 years old? I can't figure out any of it. So I want to get you on the line to chat about who you are and what it is you're doing with Six News Australia. So Leo, thanks so much for getting on the line with us.
Yeah, anytime.
Okay, so I guess the big question is, how old are you? I can't work it out.
I was 12 when all the fame kind of started with all the interviews. Currently I am 13. I'm turning, I'm in year 8, so I'm not in year 7 anymore, but yeah. I've got a birthday pretty late in the year, so I'm turning 14 in November.
Fantastic. What's your birth date?
November 12th.
Okay, cool. We'll make a point of it on Twitter. Okay, let's start with Six News Australia. How would you describe the new service? What's the ideology of it? What's the intent? What are you trying to do with it?
Well, we're really proud to say that there is no ideology. We don't lean left nor right. We're not a progressive nor a conservative news outlet. We are independent. We're funded by viewers, and we are unbiased as well. We are a team of young journalists who are all committed to bringing a bit of a different perspective to how we report the news, but at the same time, not necessarily just repeating what you'll hear on any of the old 6 p.m. bulletins. We have a lot of original stories, and we are also entirely digital. So we're on pretty much every platform with our regular programs to now twice a week.
So how many, like, obviously you've got two programs, but how many platforms are you distributing it across? Because obviously if you're doing it for YouTube, it's got to be in certain aspect ratios and certain file formats. Like, how many versions of Six News Australia are you producing on a weekly basis?
Oh, well, we could chat all day about aspect ratios, the amount of editing you got to do for that. Quick count in my head, I would say, I'm going to read them out. It's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Lit, which is this Aussie-owned kind of Facebook alternative. We're the only outlet on there. Spotify and Apple for podcasts. We've got a few little podcasts. And Rumble, which is a YouTube alternative. We have a bit of a backup option. The main platforms, though, I mean, Facebook, Twitter, we keep the same graphics. Instagram, we all convert it. TikTok and Instagram, Instagram stories, we kind of share content with. And a lot of the editing is just done on my mobile phone. So, it's always fun to try to convert it, because we know when we're a young team of young journalists and we're digital only, making sure we're, perfect for that particular platform is very important, because otherwise people aren't going to engage with a 20-minute documentary on an Instagram platform. We have to redirect, and one day they'll let us click links in Instagram bios, in Instagram descriptions, and that will help us a lot. But until then, we will just keep promoting them.
So you said you do two shows a week. So you do one on Saturdays, because I know you're in production tomorrow morning doing one. What other day during the week do you do it?
Yeah, so it's Sunday, actually. It's Press Gallery on Thursday morning. It's a fairly new show hosted by our political reporter, Christian Penny. It's Thursdays, 8 a.m. That's all Eastern Standard Time. And then we also have Six News, which is our regular bulletin, Sunday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Now, that isn't, compared to what some people have said, we should point out, it's not like a week in review show or anything like that, is it? It is entirely the latest news, things that have developed overnight. And we're also getting people ready for a new working week and keeping them informed what's going to happen on Monday, who's expected to speak, what's expected to happen. So it's all completely up to date. We don't want to go into a week in review stuff. And that's why our political show, Press Gallery, unlike insiders or outsiders, it is on in the middle of the week when the politics is still happening and when it's all still fresh and new.
you said that Six News, the ideology of it isn't necessarily left or right, but you're talking about it more from a political standpoint. What about from a editorial standpoint? What are you actually trying to achieve with the news? Like, who do you think your audience is? How do you try to frame conversations with that audience?
Well, our audience, I mean, it varies on different platform. You know, we have different targeted content on TikTok than we would on Facebook. In terms of the kind of, you know, conversations we're trying to have and the alternative, I think it's really just trying to, you know, present the facts. And because, you know, I'm not one of these people who's, you know, anti-mainstream media, boo the mainstream media or any of that. I watch them, but people clearly have made up their minds on where certain news outlets lean. And so we're new, we're trying to say that, no, we can go back to the basics, because unbiased news isn't how it used to be. It's how it should be. And so while we have different shows, none of them are opinion shows. We'll have opinion guests, let me tell you, but we're not going to have any censors. We'll let them speak for as long as they want. So it's really unbiased reporting and uncensored views, just trying to be able to start a conversation about important topics. We're not going to stress on little things. We're actually highlighting issues that matter and getting all sides of the story, because politics isn't just left and right.
Okay, let's talk about you for a little bit here. So obviously, you're quite a different voice in the news landscape than I think a lot of people are used to coming across. So who are you? So you're still in school. So you said you were 14, so that'd be grade 9, you said? Grade 8, grade 9?
Well, turning 14, still in year 8.
Sorry. yeah, there we go. Okay, so you're still in school. What do you want to do? Are you looking at a career in journalism? Is that where things are heading?
I mean, what else? I am looking for a career in journalism. I mean, Six News, it is kind of a bit of a mini career these days. I mean, we are making a little bit on Patreon too. It's not a hobby. I should make that very clear. It is all 100% serious. We would not be going to the effort of getting exclusives and these kind of sources if it was just a hobby.
Oh yeah, like looking at this, this does not look like a hobby. This looks like you're making a serious business here. And so I'm thinking, do you actually want to work for an established news org when you graduate from school, or do you want to make a serious go at Six News and try to take it into the next level?
Well, honestly, believe it or not, you might actually be one of the first people who've asked that question directly. You know, I wouldn't mind working at a newsroom. I've given the pandemic, it's a bit hard to go on when I have visited ABC Melbourne, which, you know, is a great place to work, I'm sure. But by the time I graduate school, which is 4 years' time, if I don't drop out to run Six News permanently, the media landscape, it already has been changing and it will change further. The pandemic has kind of sped that up in terms of everyone's getting Netflix these days. And while we are seeing a bit of a bump with the 6 p.m. news thanks to COVID and US election last year, it's going down again. And I wouldn't mind working for an established media outlet, but at the same time, there is a reason Six News Australia, Six News AU, all of that is a registered business name. We've all registered. We've got all the domain names. We've got all these hashtags. And we've got this team of 8 people, including myself, and a bunch of established guests that we have on too. So I don't know. I'm telling you, we can see easily how streaming news platforms have started up, and we're starting pretty young, and we have always remained the exact same, no matter no matter when we've been on, it has always been the same. We're back committed to being independent and unbiased, and that will entirely change. We're not going to get up bought by some big company. I would like to think the people you see on air are the same off air. So I wouldn't mind working in a media company, but let me tell you, Six News is only going to keep growing, and that is clearly seen in how we've just launched. You know, we've got podcasts now, we've got 2 programs a week, and we'll also be experimenting quite a lot over the summer break in how we look at things.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned a few minutes ago the idea that you might drop out of school to do Six. So I'm thinking about the industry of journalism and the idea that, like, I think it's probably a smart idea to finish high school, but do you necessarily... do you need to go to university to study journalism? And I think the answer to that's probably no. Like, the idea of having to go to uni to learn journalism is a reasonably new thing. So like, there's probably no reason at all why you couldn't finish high school and then just roll straight into a proper career in journalism.
Yeah, and you're right there. I mean, I think I've been able to well establish myself in audience, and our whole team has, in terms of how we've broken stories. Our reporter, who's only 16, he just won an award from the University of Queensland in a competition for his 6 News story. An award. We've got an award-winning journalist on our team, and most of us are still teenagers. I think that's saying something. Obviously, you know, I'd love to finish high school. I've got a good high school to go to, but I don't know. Uni, it's obviously there'd be a lot of sacrifices made in going to universities, you can imagine, and just time in general. But I think, if 6 News does, you know, continue post by the time I'm 18, you know, I'm not exactly going to fire myself if I haven't got uni qualifications, am I? So we'll wait and see. It's something, you know, I'll get to there when I get there. But at the same time, 2021's already moving so fast. Next 4 years, you know, blink and you'll miss it.
Oh, look, absolutely. So you mentioned your team. Who is it that you've got working with you? Is it just a bunch of passionate friends? Because I'm picturing you as a Max Fisher sort of a figure. You've got you've got a strong passion for creating the news channel, and your passion's probably inspiring everyone around you. And I appreciate saying that, that the Max Fisher reference has probably gone completely over your head. But like, what's the deal with the team?
Well, you know, believe it or not, none of us have actually met in person because of the pandemic. I haven't met Christian and Holly, who are both in Sydney. They recently met up and filmed because Holly, she has exemptions. She has been filming on the ground in Sydney, which is wonderful. She's been doing amazing work. So it is me. We've got our chief reporter, Connor, who's in Brisbane, our senior reporter, Darby, who's in Melbourne. He's our longest serving reporter. Our other reporter in Melbourne, Lincoln, who's technically in Geelong, but no one will notice. Our Sydney reporter, Holly, our political reporter, Christian, our US correspondent, Jackson, who is actually in South Carolina. And unlike what you see on the TV networks here in Australia, he is actually an American, you know, born in America, got the American accent and all that. And while networks seem to be losing presence in regional areas, we have expanded. We now have a rural reporter, Dusty, who is in Bathurst. And I think that's great. So, we're all great friends. We all talk outside of reporting, but it's all been virtual. And we recently had our first ever meetup of sorts over Zoom to discuss, you know, kind of the direction and the future of 6 News. And that was there it goes again. And that was great. It was the first time a lot of us had actually spoken in real time, let alone seeing each other's faces. So it is kind of it's a mini empire, but I really am confident in saying we'll have about 10 by the end of the year. I'm hoping we're looking to expand into potentially business and economics reporter. Sport, though, I should point out that's one area I would love to get in, but because digital only, I'm sure you would know all about it. These copyright issues, we can't really show AFL footage, let alone Cricket Australia. They're copyright takedowns, they go so fast, it's madness. And so we try to avoid that. Even if, you know, I filmed the Big Bash game and put a bit of footage on a news bulletin, they took that down, like on a mobile phone footage. It's a situation where it's gonna have to wait and see, but there are certainly sectors we're looking into kind of expanding, while also, you know, you always need another reporter. And of course, WA, South Australia, Tasmania, and the Northern Territory would always love to have someone there. And Europe too, let me tell you. Though that's a bit harder to find. But we are always expanding.
So what do your family and like IRL friends think about all this?
They've been watching for a while, even when it was just a little passion project on YouTube, I think. They like seeing someone, I would think, their own age looking at the news, you know. Sometimes they are, you know, they'll ask me about, you know, what's going on. You know, a lot of the time they've just been asking me whether there's an extended lockdown or not. And that's why, you know, a lot of them are only on Instagram. So we tailor our content to that kind of audience.
Yeah, but like, sorry to interrupt. What about like your parents? So like, how do they sort of engage with you about this? Are they fully supportive? Is there a bit of tension in the household sometimes?
Yeah, they're all supportive. I mean, my mum, we can consider her hair and makeup in a way. Yeah. You know, she, I mean, with the pandemic, you can't really go for a haircut, can you? So I'm thankful to have her. And of course, my dad, he is the cameraman in our studio. He has a lot of the lighting too, and he got that. We kind of reestablish it. We have a green screen, and he just sets up the camera. In terms of though our script production, you know, our social media, all of that is us. Everyone you see on air is the same off air. And we all have, you know, Connor, his parents are always a great help, and we have these people. But at the same time, you know, there are these, you know, you've got these stupid people on Twitter, and stupid's putting it nicely, who think I'm my dad. And yeah. They literally, and you know, you've contacted me over Twitter, and you've asked to interview, and you see me here. I don't look like a 50-something-year-old man, do I? So those people are just idiots. I'll say that plainly. Yeah. But again, my dad, he has just been super supportive, and he's really helped to kind of establish us at home. Unfortunately, we weren't able to go to our studio much last year because of this Melbourne lockdown. So he has been great in helping set it up at home, and, you know, our viewers or listeners can't really see this, you know, I've got a backdrop behind me. We try to make that is the Six newsroom. That is where it all happens. It's at home.
Yeah. So obviously you got to put a large number of hours into producing all this news content every week. Is there any tension at all with how much you're dedicating towards this? It's not a passion project. This is a legitimate business you're launching, but also you do have schoolwork. You probably need to actually spend some time doing that. Like, do you find any tension at home with that at all? With your parents maybe thinking that you do need to spend more time with the homework?
Sometimes, usually it's, if I'm up too late trying to make an edit or, watch the latest developments overseas or something like that. Though, yeah. With daylight savings in the United States, they're now got, you know, 6 a.m. but it's 8 p.m. for us, so it's been a bit easier to manage. You know, school, I think it's a lot easier to manage when I'm actually at school, not at remote learning.
Yeah, I'd imagine.
Yeah. I think I've managed to find a kind of a split enough, and because we have a growing team, they have been able to do a lot more work too, which saves me a lot of time. And that was proven when I actually went to school camp a few weeks ago, and they did all this coverage of the Victorian lockdown. Well, I had no idea. And they did all that. They didn't have me directing any of it. And so it proves that, you know, that I'm able to take these kind of breaks from doing the constant news. And, yeah, even if it is a mandatory break because school requires the camp.
Yeah, okay. So in this last week, you followed in the footsteps of Sky News and you got your channel suspended from YouTube. Now you appealed and you got your channel reinstated. But in the couple of hours in between, you released a streaming video, and let's just take a listen to the clip of the live stream that you put out.
YouTube has suspended the account of Six News Australia for a week again after we uploaded footage of the Parliament of Australia. Now, this is the email that I got literally 10 minutes ago from YouTube that was sent to our email contact at sixnewsau.com. They have said the following, quote, "Hi, Six News Australia. Our team has reviewed your content." Here we go again. "And unfortunately, we think it violates our medical misinformation policy. We've removed it from YouTube." Now, if you haven't seen that video, that was of George Christensen, the Liberal Nationals MP, the controversial one, who said masks and lockdowns don't work. Now, obviously, that can be interpreted as misinformation. In the description of that video, we included a very direct fact check saying many experts do agree masks work. 100 viewers tuning in. Thank you very much. We also included Anthony Albanese, the opposition leader's reply. So we included both sides of this debate. This is Parliament footage. This is footage from the Parliament of Australia. And we're getting suspended for uploading a short clip of something. Think about this. Lockdowns, that is a debate that can be held whether they work. Masks, most experts generally agree they work. We included that in our description. We said that most experts say they work. Are we getting suspended for this again?
So I've got two things I want to talk to you about in regards to that clip. But first, before that, tell me about what happened in terms of why the channel was pulled from YouTube. We did hear you describe that in the video, but let's hear you talk about it again. And also the behind-the-scenes process of getting the channel back online.
Yeah, well, it felt like days, but it was really just 7 hours when we look at it. So basically, we uploaded a video of controversial Liberal Nationals MP George Christensen saying masks and lockdowns don't work. Now, in that video, we also added the response from Anthony Albanese, the opposition leader, and that was just in one big video. In the description of the video, we also made it clear that, you know, health experts, 99% of them agree masks do work. Lockdowns, of course, is a discussion that can be held. It is a debate that can be held, and we welcome debate. We keep our comments on YouTube. And then we got an email from YouTube saying that it violated their COVID-19 misinformation policies, that we would be given a strike. This is the second time it's happened to us this year. That bans us from uploading for 1 week. That, of course, meant no press gallery, no Six News, no special QAnon documentary, none of that. And that was very annoying. So on to your second part of the question, we sent an email to YouTube within about an hour. And not only did I ask why, we also approached it from a neutral standpoint. And we genuinely asked, what was the misinformation and why is videos from The Guardian, for example, showing the exact same speech still online? And we just asked that. And we got a response about the same time as Rob McKnight, who I think you've spoken to, from TV Black Box did. Mm-hmm. He reached out to them too. And the statement went in part, and I'm paraphrasing here, that sometimes they get the actions wrong and we provided sufficient context and the video was reinstated, the strike was removed. We manually removed that video after. Is it just in case? Because the AI might accidentally flag it again and I'm not dealing with it again. But it is the second time they have admitted we were in the right. So it's getting very annoying. And I don't know whether I think it's because we're a smaller channel in the terms of YouTube, but we got a fairly big audience on Twitter. I don't usually live stream on Twitter, but I did because it's I wanted people to see this. And they have heard this in my words. And as you can see, I'm not too happy with YouTube. And as you heard in that clip, I'm really not liking them. But the fact we've been proven right both times, I think, says something about our editorial process in terms of what we upload. The fact that we did absolutely nothing wrong, and we maintained that the entire time with both cases, and we've been proven right.
Now, the thing I really want to talk to you about with that clip is that you're really impressive in it. So in the clip, it's a live stream, so there's no takes at all. Like, you really are doing it straight off the cuff. You've got fire and passion, and it's not your usual on-air style from what I've seen. Instead, you come off more like the sort of stylized host you see on places like Fox News or Jim Cramer on CNBC. And I don't mean that as a criticism at all. I thought it was really, really great. And I was wondering if you've considered or venturing more into opinion and more talk-focused on-air presenting.
Well, you know, and I'd love to. I can be a bit of an opinionated guy, though. Knowing what people on Twitter say about me, I've been accused of being a communist as well as a QAnon believer. So I think I'm yeah, managing to hide them pretty well. I'm happy to rant when it comes to journalistic issues, because again, our editorial policies clearly state we are allowed to speak on behalf of journalistic issues. You know, we are able to talk about things like press freedom. We know what's happening with Chung Lei in China, and the situation with media reporting on Palestine too. And we've been all vocal about that. I'd be happy to, but at the same time, I also like the aspect of it being live. And we are, let me tell you, we are certainly experimenting with some live content coming soon. And I think that's where I'll be able to, just talk it out. Again, as you mentioned, it was unscripted, no extra takes. I mean, it was on 10 minutes after we got that email, I was on air, and thankfully it came during a lunch break between lessons. But it was a disappointing situation that they did it in the first place. I don't think we're planning to have opinion programs, but we've got a long list of guests who share their opinions who we want to have on, and I think we'll let them speak for themselves, and then we'll always invite people to comment using hashtag SixNewsAU, or you can, of course, email us contact@sixnewsau.com.
What is it that you think about mainstream news in Australia? Like, do you like it? What's your media diet? What are you consuming on a regular basis?
Everything. I'll watch any of the networks. I watch Sky, ABC in the US. I watch Fox, Newsmax, CNN, MSNBC. So I'll watch it all, mainly because number one, it's always interesting because to see which stories are being covered on the channels, if they're all covering this one story and what the angles are. And that's for the straight news programs, because we know Sky still has the normal bulletins during the day, which, you know, more people enjoy if they're on the left. But in terms of opinion programs, I watch it because it's easier to understand what they're talking about in their own words rather than, you know, reading it on a news site saying blah, 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 conservatives or liberals are angry about this. I actually want to hear them. And it's always interesting to get the talking points of the different perspectives, and then we can kind of also we might be able to get a guest on to discuss the issues too. So I mean, mainstream media, it's certainly changed a lot. I think a lot of the networks are behind in terms of digital presence. I think in the United States, the local TV stations adopted a bit of a digital first policy where they'd push out breaking news online rather than on air first, which they did that ages ago. Unfortunately, Australian mainstream media seems to be a bit behind, and you know, our third largest commercial network, Channel 10, doesn't even have a news website, and we do. And I think that's saying something in terms of news online. So I'll watch all the networks, but honestly, they have to do something, because at the same time, I fear for the future of some of the networks. I love watching them, but Channel 10, the amount of times they've had financial troubles in their lifetime, let alone my short lifetime, is really sad. And Channel 10 was the first place on mainstream media I was ever featured on. I will always be grateful to them for that. So, yeah, it's a sad situation, but I wish them all the best, and I will continue watching because I enjoy watching it, regardless of the Twitterati, of what the Twitterati says.
What were you featured on? I'm assuming the project.
10 News First, or actually their main news bulletin. Oh, shocking, I know. Natasha Exelby, she was great. Was in between the lockdown, so she actually came to our studio. It wasn't the first. People, that's why I think that honor goes to Rob McKnight, David Robinson, Ben Norris at the Ben Robin Robbo Show, what was known as the Ben Robin Robbo Show. And they have, you know, been supporters, and of course, most of them were ex-Channel 10. But I didn't expect to be on the regular news bulletin. I mean, every other thing I was on was like, you know, Sunrise or one of those shows. And then they just slapped me on the 5 p.m. news as their headline story. I'm like, why? But I'll take the publicity.
Do you have any interests outside of news, or is it all consuming for you?
Oh, well, it can be a bit all consuming. You know, I mean, I'm always interested in general with the media, you know, watching, you know, in the way it works and all that. The one part I can never promise to be unbiased in, though, is AFL, when I'm watching the AFL, and I try to go to as many Hawthorn games as possible. Cricket too, AFL and cricket, big lovers of sport. I try to play that at school as often as possible. But it's pretty much news and sport. That's about it. You know, I'll take breaks with little mobile games. But I think my brother's the one who's all in the PS4 and the gaming stuff. He's looking over me, over me. But it's just a combination of news and sport, I guess. So it's, I mean, most kids my age would be, it'd be sport and something else. And my something else is news. So there you go.
So the really condescending thing to say to you right now would be, I'd be excited to see what you're doing in 4 to 5 years time when you graduate from school and see what's next. But the thing is, I think you're going to impress everyone well before then. So I really want to see what you're going to be doing 18 months from now, because I think you're going to be, there's some magic in the air. I want to see what goes on there.
I do too. I have no idea what's going to go on. I mean, I've been lucky that we've never had a slow news day. I mean, it's always been COVID, 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 or US election. But I don't know, in 18 months, when we're not talking about vaccines and COVID, what else? I don't know what was covered before 2020. Like, I genuinely can forget what was leading.
That's,
you know,
cool.
I think it was either, what was, you know, the ex-footballer Ben Cousins, he was leading the news, or that was about it. I genuinely cannot remember. And that is how much the pandemic has consumed our lives.
Yeah, no one remembers. That's cool. So let's just wind things up. So obviously you've got 35 different platforms that you're on. Where's the one place we can direct people to right now to come across it all? Is it the Six News website?
I think the one place you can visit is probably our website. 6newsau.com. That has links to the socials, but the website, it'll always have our latest programs, both press gallery and regular bulletins, we'll have links to other stories. And also something we don't usually share on any other, we'll actually have a behind the scenes and where you can, you know, look at our team, and it's just your one-stop shop for everything.
Leo, it's been awesome talking. Thanks so much.
Anytime. Talk soon.
And this brings us to the end of another Oz Media Report. I'll be back next week. And on next week's episode, I've got a chat with Tim Burrows. He's just written a book, Media Unmade, Australian Media's Most Disruptive Decade. And he takes a look at pretty much what the title says, the past 10 years of Australian media, and then some. It's a really funny, witty, smart, incisive look at what's been going on within the Australian media industry for the last 10 years. If you like this kind of a podcast, you'll really like that book. So stick around next week. We're going to have a chat with Tim. In the meantime, if you want to check out my other podcast, it's called Screen Watching, and that's a weekly look at all the big movie and TV show releases. I do that one with Sydney film critic Simon Foster. You may also want to check out my daily newsletter. It's called Always Be Watching, and you can find that at, and wait for it, you won't believe how I came up with this URL, alwaysbewatching.com. Subscribe, it's free to subscribe, and it hits your inbox 6 times a week. Every Monday through Friday, you receive an email by 9 a.m., and it's a digest of all the interesting screen-related stories from the US, Australia, and the UK, and then some depending on what's going on around the world on any given day. So it's a breezy, quick read that you can get through. And then on Friday afternoons, I drop a bonus edition of that newsletter, and it's really just a guide to what you can click play on right there and then, that of, you know, things that are streaming, movies and TV shows and all sorts of fun things. Anyway, check that out. But I will be back next week with the Oz Media Report. Thank you for listening.